Yud Aleph. Reb Hillel Horov, it's Tovshin Ayin Tisha B'Av, Yud Aleph.
Kina Yud Aleph. Kina Yud Aleph, Yirmiyahu is offering a lamentation for Yoshiyahu HaMelech, who was killed in battle. Says Rashi, it's really from Yuchas of Rashi, attributed to Rashi in Divrei Yomim. So the pasuk there says how Nikonei Yirmiyahu Yoshiyahu, not just Yirmiyahu, but all the Sharim and Sharod, all singers, offered dirges about Yoshiyahu's death. And they made it a rule in Israel. Hayum l'chok Israel, says Rashi. Whenever you have a tzar or a bechiyah, you have to do tinos, you must mention the death of Yoshiyahu. For example, in their days already, you had the Crusades to mention. You had to mention the death of Yoshiyahu. If you don't mention the death of Yoshiyahu, Kinos is incomplete. Kinos is incomplete. Tisha B'Av is incomplete. You must mention the death of Yoshiyahu. Why? What's so special about the death of Yoshiyahu? The Rambam, in Hilchos Malachim, the last two prophets, tells us what Mashiach is supposed to be like. How are we supposed to know who Mashiach is? So the Rambam says the following six halachas condensed. 13 halachas. Melech HaMashiach will come and re-establish Malchus David to the glory of its yesteryears. He'll build the Beis HaMikdash. He will gather all of Am Yisrael and bring us back to Torah, basically. We'll have all the rules of the Torah, all the Mishpatim, we'll be makir korbanos. How many mitzvahs we do not have today? According to the Prefigurim, Ali Yishenah B'Yidiyah, Yishenah in Gematria is 365, which the Osios is 369. That's all the mitzvahs we have. Out of 613 mitzvahs, we only have 369. Many of them attributed to korbanos that we don't have. And then, if somebody will come from Beis David, who learns Torah, like David his father, and Torah B'Shav, Torah Shabbat Peh, and he forces Am Yisrael to go in the proper path, and he fights the battle of God, he is probably Mashiach. Probably. But when he finally gathers Am Yisrael, and he builds the Beis HaMikdash, he's for sure Mashiach. In the next parak, the Rambam said, don't think that we will live in a miraculous world when Mashiach comes. It's not true. Everything will go like what's happening now will continue this way. Except when Yeshayahu talks about Vigorza Evan Kevis, a Kevis, that's the lamb, us, will be able to live with the wolves. That's talking about how Am Yisrael will be able to reside next to the evil idol worshippers without a problem. As the rabbis say, Ein ben ol lazel yimos Mashiach, there's no difference except Shibul Malchus Bilvad. We will no longer be subservient to any of the goyim. Whatever name you want to give them, Ahmadinejad, Obama, it doesn't make a difference. We do not have to take concern about what they say. Absolutely not. And why do we care so much to have Mashiach? So we can learn Torah and get close to the first world. The Malbim tells us in Sfanya, the third parak, that the Nevi'im started prophesizing about Mashiach at the time of Chizkiyahu and Elijah. That was the first opportunity where Mashiach could come. And indeed, Chazal tells Chizkiyahu could have been Mashiach. However, it didn't happen. The next one on the list to become Mashiach, who could have been Mashiach, was Yoshiyahu. In fact, Yirmiyahu seriously believed that Yoshiyahu was going to be the Mashiach. And he went out, Yirmiyahu personally left the land of Israel and brought back the 10 tribes. He brought them back. He said, this is the opportunity Yoshiyahu can be Mashiach. What happened? So we're told that Yoshio's father, Amon, was assassinated. Tremendous Rasha. And Yoshio, at age 8, imagine, a second or third grader appointed king. It took a while. But by the 8th year of the kingdom, when he was 16, only 16 years old, Yoshio was able to realize the importance of a HaKadosh Baruch Hu and try to bring about a religious revival. And that's actually, if you look at Osbet of our Kedar, you know, right? Osav, the second line. And Shmona Shana Behechel Nidrosh Melakot. When he was 8 years old, our school points out, it was really in the 8th year of his kingdom. Okay, without going too long on the point, but basically when you become something important, an official, your obeys are forgiven. So even though he started his rule at age 8, he was still age 8. At 16, when he decided to run the kingdom of Pia Torah by mitzvot, he was in some level 8, but he was really 16. And what happened was, for 10 years, he's running the Torah of Pi. He's running the kingdom of Pi, Torah mitzvot. When all of a sudden, they find the Sefer Torah in the base of the Mikdash. It turns out, they were missing part of the Sefer Torah. They were missing Sefer Torah. And you can't run your life with only 4 and 5 books. You're missing a major chunk of the Torah. And at age 26, they brought the Torah to Yoshio and they read the Torah. In fact, the Torah was actually rolled at that point to Arur Asher Lo Yakim Es Divrei Torah Zos. Cursed be he who does not do the Torah like he should. And when they read the Torah to Yoshio, he got up, he ripped his clothes, he started to cry, and he screamed out, Alei Elohim, we're not just going to stand here, we have to do the Torah. We have to fulfill the entire Torah. So what happened? So the Kina tells us, Os Gimel, Gad B'chol Malchei Yisrael Shechomu Lidor, among all the kings who took a stand to fight against Aveiros and to do mitzvos, and Chizkiyo was on a tremendous level, David, Lo Kam Kamo Mimosan Lidor, but there was nobody like him since the days of Avigdor. Avigdor is a code name, actually, for Moshe. It's Moshe. He's referred to this name in Divrei Yomim, Avigdor. He's called Avigdor because, says the Gemara Megillah, Shegadar Pirtosein Shel Yisrael. He fenced in the broken areas of Am Yisrael, be it Avodah Zarah, be it the lack of mitzvot being done properly. That's what Moshe did. Moshe Rabbeinu made sure everybody did Torah and mitzvahs like they should. And that was Yoshio. And I think for this reason, in some level, Yoshio probably saw himself that he's got to do like Moshe Rabbeinu. He took, I think, a frontal attack on two fronts. One was Avodah Zorah. Avodah Zorah had to be stopped at all levels. And he went in and he had detectives and he had men go in and they searched out Avodah Zorah as they could and destroyed all the Avodah Zorah that they could find. By the way, as an aside, it's not really an aside. We have Avodah Zorah in our days, we have to get rid of it. All you have to do is read a Kafta de Mashikha by Rav Elchanan Wasserman. He talks about Avodah Zorah in our days. We're caught up. Avodah Zorah for many of us is democracy, or it could be the Israeli army. That was his first attack. His second attack, I think, was Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach and all the other mitzvahs would fall into place. And in fact, Yoshio HaMelech made a tremendous attempt, and he succeeded. They made a Korban Pesach, says the Navi, not since the days of Shmuel. Not even Dov, not even Chizkiyo, not even other kings who actually were very good too, also Yoshua. None of them did a Korban Pesach like Yoshua. Like in Yitzchak Mitzrayim, Moshe, time. Surely, okay, what if the Avodah Zorah? I say to him, Korban Pesach, time for Korban Pesach. For this, in all his activities, Yoshiyahu reached the level of a tzaddik. What does it mean to be a tzaddik? What does it mean to be a tzaddik? So, in all honesty, every day, we say a bracha, Allah tzaddikim baruch hasidim. I wondered for a long time, like, why are we davening for the tzaddikim baruch hasidim specifically? Why are we davening for the tzaddikim specifically? There's an excellent sefer called The Oldest Talmud, where he explains that when you say Allah tzaddikim, you should consider seriously how much we must pray for the tzaddikei hador, because it's only through them, ki betovatam anu chayim, through their good we live. And as long as we have tzaddik in this world, bracha and tova and chayim are in this world. Indeed, he's really basing himself on a Mishnah in Sanhedrin. The Mishnah in Sanhedrin says tzaddikim are connected to five things. And it says like this. The death of Rishoyim, what a pleasure for them and a pleasure for the world. Imagine Hitler being killed. What a pleasure. Tzaddikim, Mordechai just passed away. Ra Elohim, it's not just Ra for Mordechai. Ra Elohim, it's bad for all of us. Yayin v'sheino, wine and sleep. For Rishoyim, it's great. They cannot think of any nefarious activities. Tzaddikim, Rabahem, Rabahem. It's Bittul Torah. Bittul Zechuyos for the world. Pizrul Rashayim, Rashayim were separated. Rabahem, Rabahem. It's great. But Tzaddikim, if they can't get together to take advice, have a boetzes together and take advice, Rabahem, Rabahem. Kinus, Rashayim, when the Rashayim get together, obviously it's terrible. Vilat Tzaddikim, Hanolahem, Hanolahem. All these things are with Allah. And finally, Sheket L'Rishayim, where you can have tranquility, Ra'alahem V'Ra'alahem. V'la Tzaddikim, Hanolahem V'Hanolahem. It's all the Olam too. When the Tzaddikim are alive and able to focus and think in the Torah and Mitzvot, it's not just good for them. It's good for us. And that's the meaning of the Pasuk. Tzaddik Yisod Olam. That's a Mishnah. Tzaddik Yisod Olam. And in fact, the Kino actually at one point refers to Yoshiyahu as Tzaddik Yisod Olam. In Os Samach it says, and it's referring to his death. It says, Umat Yisod Yoshiyahu, which means the righteous foundation of the world collapsed. Yoshiyahu was the foundation of the world. The world resided on Yoshiyahu. Without Yoshiyahu, to some degree, the world collapsed. Basically, the Shrushim collapsed. It was held back for 22 years because of the eulogy they made for Yoshio. But basically, the moment Yoshio died, the basically the collapsed. But Yoshio is more than just a regular tzaddik. At the beginning of the Kinah, he's referred to like this: Echa Eli Kanenu Me'ilov. Arouse the land Echa for one of the mightiest. Elov. He uses the word Elov. Who's Elav referred to? Every Friday night we say, Mizmor LeDavid, Havu LaHashem B'nei Elim. The B'nei Elim should give glory to God. Who are these B'nei Elim? Who are these B'nei Elim? Says the Gemara Megillah. These B'nei Elim are Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We're dealing with a tzaddik close to the level of an Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Yoshiyahu, who had brought everybody pretty much back to the tshuva, who had the basin initiatives functioning properly, Torah has been spread across the land, a tzaddik of tremendous proportions. And what happens? Yoshiyahu is killed. Why? What happened? Yoshiyahu was convinced that he had eradicated Avodah Zorah completely from Eretz Yisrael. And Paro wanted to cross through Israel. He didn't even want to attack on Israel. He wanted to cross through Israel and wage a battle. And Yoshiyahu says, no, you can't go through. The Torah says, The Torah says that if we keep the Torah properly, Parshas Bukhukosai, then no sword will pass through our head. I'm not letting you pass through. I believe in the Torah, you can't pass through. Now Yoshio was warned by Yirmiyahu that this is you're wrong, Yoshio. You have not done as good a job as you think. You have tried, that's correct. But unfortunately there were some of the Avodah Zorah still around, and the Kino refers to it in two letters, Dalet and Mem, Dalet. Okay? Dalet, blood. Dalet. Dovak bo chet matzenei hador, asher komu afor hedelet nisgor. The sin of that generation's scorers clung to him. Those who stood idols behind the door. They basically cut their idol in half. Half was on one door, half was on another door. You open the door to come in, the two doors really. One door went to one side, the other door went to the other side, and the idol was hidden behind the doors. So the detective missed it. In Mem, Mechatos tirat mitzuzos, chazon ansosi hegeu levazos. This resulted from the sin of concealing the idols behind the doorposts when they began to scoff at the prophecies of Yirmiyahu. So what happened? Yoshio went to battle and he failed. He failed. He ignored, he was wrong. He was wrong. He made a mistake. He made a mistake. He should have listened to Yirmiyahu. And he was killed. There are two psukim in Eicha related to this. One, how Yoshio does tshuva, which we're not going to get into. The other is an Eicha Perek Aleph, it says like this. Ruach apeinu Mashiach Hashem nilkad b'shchisos sof. The breath of our nostrils, Hashem's anointing, was caught in their tracks of aveiros. We would have, Yeshua would have lived if not for our aveiros. Asher amaru b'tzilon nechiyat adonim. Yoshio, under whose protection we had thought, because of our king, we would be able to live among the nations. Because of our Avelos, Yoshio died, and with it, the base of Ikosh. Because of our Avelos, Mashiach did come. He could have been Mashiach. Now, what would have happened if he would have been Mashiach? And I think this is the reason why it's critical to read this Kino. What would have happened had he been Mashiach? So one thing is, a religious revival, everybody here would be free. Everybody would be free. Okay. But I realized we don't always appreciate what it means everybody would be free. So let's take the second level of what the Rambam says. The Rambam says that if Yoshio would have been Mashiach, based on the Rambam, we would have had no problems with the Goyim at all. No problems. Now, I looked for a bunch of lists actually over this. So originally I was looking at Rabbi Matis Cantor, his book Timeline. Man's an incredible genius. Incredible book. And it gives you through the generations pretty much, I won't say all, I wouldn't even say most, but so many tragedies that have happened through the generations, it's just unbelievable. It's unbelievable. So I said, it would take too long. So I decided on something else instead. I found that the Anti-Defamation League had a list of terrorist attacks, so you can relate to it more, over the past few years. Their list is incomplete. When I transferred it, it was pages upon pages of pages. It was incomplete. It only went to the year 2004 and then skipped to 2008. Trust me, there were terrorist attacks between 2004 and 2008. So I'm just gonna give you some, literally some. It's for sure less than 10%. July 2, 2008. An Arab resident of Jerusalem deliberately drove a bulldozer into pedestrians and vehicles in central Jerusalem, overturning and flattening a number of buses and cars. 3 people were killed and 66 injured in the attack. I don't know if you remember. A mother was killed. They pulled a baby out of the car at the last second while the mother was killed. March 6, 2008. 8 men, 7 of them teenagers, were killed when a Palestinian gunman entered the Merkaz HaRav Yeshiva in Jerusalem in open fire. The terrorists also wounded 9 in the attack before he was killed at the scene. June 28, 2004. A Qassam rocket fired by Hamas terrorists in the Gaza Strip struck near a nursery school in the northern Negev town of Sderot, killing an Israeli man and a 4-year-old Israeli child. Why is this happening? Ruach HaPeinu Mashiach Hashem And don't just think it was their door. The Beis HaMikdash hasn't been built in our door. It's as if it was destroyed in our door. We have our own affairs to worry about. May 2nd, 2004, an Israeli woman in her 8th month of pregnancy was shot dead along with her 4 daughters, the Chatuel family, when 2 Palestinian terrorists fired on their car at the entrance to the Gaza Strip, the settlement block of Gush Katif. After the car spun off the road, after an initial attack, the terrorists approached the vehicle and shot the occupants at close range. September 26, 2003, Ayel Yerubam, who's 27, and 7-month-old infant Shaked Avraham was shot dead by a Palestinian terrorist who knocked on the door of a home in Negohot. We were just in Negohot. Beautiful settlement. South of Hebron. During a celebratory Jewish New Year holiday dinner on Rosh Hashanah, September 9th, 2003, Hamas claimed responsibility for 2 suicide bombings, the first at an entrance of the Tzrifin army base near Rishon LeZion, and the second at Cafe Hillel in the German colony neighborhood of Jerusalem. Who can forget that with Dr. Applebaum and his daughter, who was supposed to be married that day? Which killed a total of 15 people and wounded at least 80. Ruach HaPeinu, Mashiach Hashem, Mashiach was killed and is not allowed to come because we will come to Shisoso because of our heroes. March 7, 2003, 2 Israelis, my cousins, were killed and 5 were wounded when armed terrorists infiltrated the community of Kiryat Arba and attacked their Shabbos. December 27, 2002. Terrorists broke into a dining hall at a yeshiva in Utniel, south of Hebron, and killed 4 students who were working in the yeshiva kitchen and injured 10 others. November 28, a suicide car bombing of the Israeli-owned beachfront Paradise Hotel in Mombasa, Kenya. Who says it has to happen in Israel? Killed 3 Israelis and 10 Kenyans and wounded at least 80 people. June 20th, 5 Israelis, including a mother, 3 children, and a neighbor who came to aid the family were killed when a Palestinian terrorist entered a home and opened fire in the West Bank settlement of Itamar. 2 other children and 2 other soldiers were also killed in the attack, injured in the attack. March 27th. Who could forget this? 22 people were killed, 140 injured, 20 seriously, in a suicide bombing at the Park Hotel in the coastal city of Netanya in the midst of a Passover holiday Seder with 250 guests. March 7th, Aaron Krogliak of Betel, Tal Kurtziel of Bnei Brak, Asher Marcus of Yerushalayim, Iran Pikar of Yerushalayim, and Ariel Tzana of Yerushalayim, all aged 18, were killed, and 23 people were injured, 4 seriously, when a Palestinian gunman penetrated a high school that combines religious studies and military training in the Gush Katif settlement of Atzmona, late Thursday night. March 2nd, 10 people were killed, and over 50 were injured in a suicide bombing at 7 p.m. on Saturday evening near a yeshiva in the ultra-Orthodox Beit Israel neighborhood in the center of Jerusalem, where people had gathered for a bar mitzvah celebration. The terrorists detonated the bomb next to a group of women waiting with their baby carriages for their husbands to leave the nearby synagogue. 6 children were among the victims. And January 17, 2002, a Palestinian gunman burst into a bat mitzvah celebration in a banquet hall in Hadera, opening fire on the 180 guests with an M16 assault rifle, killing 6 people and injuring 35 people. Most of this was random, actually, because the list was so long, I just pulled out whatever I felt like. And what about those who survived? What about those who survived? I can tell you personally, I have another cousin who was not in the people. He was near it. He saw the bus explode. Near it. And because of it, he's had to take his teenage son to therapy, costing a tremendous amount of money. And yes, money is not the issue. You have to do what you have to do. But he didn't have the money. But he had to get it. Somehow. And his son was emotionally scarred. Now why is this all happening? Because we too have the chet letzonei hador. We too have the chet of the scorners of the generation. We continue to prevent the arrival of Mashiach. Ruach ha-peinu, Mashiach Hashem. Nilka b'shvis osam. The breath of our nostrils, Hashem's anointed, was caught in their traps. Our traps, our traps, our avails, our shvises, our sins. How long will we let this continue? I once met a person who said to me, you know, I'm a little nervous about Mashiach coming. I'm used to this world. Is he crazy? Is he out of his mind? Used to this world? Terrorist attacks, people die? Because you really don't know.